Francois. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise and Francoise Rhodes, your host. I was just laughing, Sean and I were giving, just chatting about a few things going on in the world. Great to have you back with us. The first hour flew by. We want to congratulate Lynn for winning those International Short Film Festival tickets. We want to thank Jack McFarlane, who joined us to talk about American flags and the new program here in the Coachella Valley on how to dispose of them. And that information will be on the Traveling with Francoise website. Joining us in the boardroom, he never leaves. He stays right with me the 2 hours, is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. He finally figured out his pick of the week, too, the Lavender Festival.
So. Yeah, but then I didn't write down any information.
I know. Yeah, so we'll figure all that out. But we have a new segment in the beginning, in the first hour of the show. We, along with Craig from CoachellaValley.com, you need to check out that website. It's really phenomenal. It also has a Today's California piece on there, where I'm going to be doing some travel blogs on there as well. And we now each pick a event of the week that we are going to. That'll be our pick of the week, and we tell you, and then you can go if you want to. Just something, some more fun things to do. All right, this show is presented by Diane Williams and Associates right here in the Coachella Valley. We thank them. Experience trust, trust experience. I was not on KESQ yesterday morning. I will be back next week. I'm there every other morning. It's an early morning spot, 6:40, which means I get up at 5:30 a.m. Not that I'm complaining. I love doing it, but I'm just not a morning person.
I'm not either.
And that sort of throws me off for 2 days when I have to get up that early.
I try to be a morning person. It's tough.
I mean, some of us just are and some of us are not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is, because I really like mornings. You know, when you go outside, not the time, but the air outside. Maybe not so much right now because it's starting to warm up.
It is crisp and clear.
Yeah, it's crisp. It's quiet still. Yeah. It feels really nice, but I guess I don't like it enough.
Guess what, though? You can get that same thing at night. It's
just
darker.
You can.
I just like the evenings. I like the quiet, beautiful. And I love the summer evenings because you can sit out there and it's just so nice. But we are in the summer. So anyway, let's see what else. So I will be on KESQ next weekend. Traveling with Francoise, a television show on Fox 11 on Thursdays. I was telling everybody in the first hour that this coming up week, we played the Cuisines Around the World show again, and the restaurants are saying they're so excited because they've had a lot of people come in after seeing the show. But I decided to go back and show everyone the very first episode of Traveling with Francoise on television that cameraman Steve and I did. It was up in the high desert up there off of 247, where we find King Clone. We use a drone, and that was the first show trying to figure out what the heck I was doing with Traveling with Francoise, the 30-minute TV show. So it was fun, and each one, I tell you, it's a challenge. It's a lot of fun each show, but I always try to make them better every single time, and that's our goal, to streamline them and just have a lot of fun with it. So, and if you've missed any and you want to watch them on YouTube, you can also go to the website where I have a page that is dedicated to the TV episodes, and you can watch them there. So makes it real easy, and also podcasts of the radio show here. You can listen to that. So what is happening in the world of travel as we shift into travel mode here? Well, I don't know what people are thinking sometimes when they do some of this stuff, but Yosemite, of course, we were talking about the roads being open now all the way through. Almost all the roads are open except for one minor one that tourists don't normally use. But in the last week, and this is really sad because I don't know if people are not using common sense or what's going on. Two people fell off the side of climbing El Capitan. They fell while climbing.
Really?
Two of them. The same. So you kind of wonder, was that some sort of suicide pact? I don't know. But just.
Was it at the same time?
Yes. It's kind of weird.
It is. But the only thing is, I have an uncle who actually fell off a cliff, and it was him and a friend. That had fallen off the cliff.
So maybe one tries to help the other when they're falling and they both end up going.
Maybe.
That would be a tough call when you see somebody and, let's not go there. And then the other one fell also and died while climbing the granite cliffs of Half Dome in rainy conditions.
Yeah, that might not have been the best time to climb.
So my point is, when you are out traveling this summer season, use your common sense. I know we try to get adventurous. You get caught up in the moment. You're somewhere. Yeah. And I do that myself. And I try to be very careful. But I'll be somewhere and I'll say, oh, I know I can do that. Or it'll be
you
fine.
Let your judgment slide a little bit.
Yeah. I won't fall off the side of that mountain. So, because it's me. And but you know what? It that could be you. So just be really careful out there. That's all I ask. So that happened. And then, of course, you hear about Hawaii. What's going on in Hawaii over there, which is just my mouth still falls open when I see it on television. It's so hard to imagine because we're not there. But that what the paper I saw this morning, they say on Hawaii's Big Island, a new eruption of molten rock from 220-foot high fountain of lava, of course, is making its way across the one escape route that they have. They're trying to open up another one. The Big Island, also known as the Island of Hawaii, is about 200 miles southeast of Oahu, where the capital, Honolulu, is located. The U.S. Geological Survey reported Saturday that a 900-foot-wide band of molten rock had pushed to within 100 yards of the intersection of these main highways, 132 and 137, in an area known as the Four Corners. So I've been thinking about all this. They say right now the lava has covered 5.5 square mile area, and they just don't know. You just heard on the news. They don't know what's going to happen. And I've been thinking about this, because when all the storms ravage some parts of the Caribbean,
right?
The first thing that happened was tourists just stopped.
Right.
Tourism stopped. They pulled back, not even knowing whether the area that they were going to had any problems at all.
Right.
And a lot of time it's very concentrated. So I had an idea that there's a neighbor of mine that has some ties to Hawaii. And I was going to get in touch with him and see if he knows of a business in Hawaii that would call the show and let us know about the tourism.
Right.
I mean, obviously the other islands are open for business, but people panic and they just right away.
And I think a lot of it's fear too.
It is fear. Yeah. I mean, they don't, and rightly so. I mean, you have to use common sense and not go in a place where they're having big problems like Hawaii. But that doesn't mean you need to pull out of everything right. going on in that area. And that hits tourism very, very hard. And it hits all these communities, all these, those in their case, the islands that depend on tourism. That's their income, really. So I have that in my mind. I'm going to see if I can arrange that where we have someone actually call from Hawaii and give us an idea a little bit down the road here, and maybe about 3 weeks or so, and see what's going on. And we'll have more of an idea what's happening. You know, I thought that news reporting there that we heard in the break, when they say two things can happen, either it's going to stop or it's going to be worse. I mean,
that's fairly vague.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of reporting is that? Obviously, that's the choices that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
The light can either be on or it can be off.
Yeah.
We're waiting to see what happens.
There you go. So, I don't know. And the tour operators over there, I mean, just think, their whole livelihood, too, depends on what the media is saying.
Right.
Because we're not living there. We don't know.
No, we see is the scary stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Even if everything was starting to look really good and something crazy happened in the corner, they're only going to show you that corner.
Yeah, and scare you for the whole, like all of Mexico.
Right.
Things happened in Mexico in certain parts, of course. Then the media had everyone so scared they weren't going to Mexico at all. Zero.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now that's finally changed. It took a long time for that to change. So use some common sense on this, folks. Don't just call up and say, I'm not going, whether it's Oahu or one of the other islands. Like I say, use some common sense. Talk to your travel agent. Check with some people over there on the islands and go from there. All right, I was in Las Vegas during the week, and lots of things happening in Las Vegas. And we're going to have a company call the show today called FlixBus. And they are launching a bus service in the United States that plans to disrupt the traditional bus market, which I find very interesting. I saw this in a press release, and I thought, let's have them on the show. We're going to find out what's going to make their bus service so different. Now, when I was in Vegas with a friend of mine, we decided to hop on their transit bus. It's called the Deuce on the Strip, and it takes you from Fremont to Mandalay Bay, all the way across town and then back, either way. But for $6, you could ride this bus for 2 hours, or for $8 for 24 hours. Now, which one would you pick?
The $8.
Yeah, I think the $8, because then you can get on and off all day for 2 days, all you want. Yeah, and stay as long as you want in each side. And it really was a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoyed it because I don't always want to drive when I get somewhere. I really don't.
No. I don't want to at all.
Yeah. But I'll do it and kind of navigate. But I just said, I'm going to relax. I'm not working. I just want to be a tourist. So it was we met the nicest people on this bus. And it had locals on it. Locals can ride it as well if they're going on that route. And, of course, I met some people from Alabama and all over. So really take your time and check out what the local transit has to offer. The buses were beautiful, clean, and nice. So now when FlixBus calls, we're going to find out how they're going to change that. And when leaving Las Vegas, darned if I didn't look up. I turned a corner. I get out of the parking garage there. Stayed at the Golden Nugget, and their rooms are redone and all that sort of stuff. And get the Fremont action. And I'm kind of toy. I like the Strip action, so we went to the Strip a lot, too. And I like the hotels on the Strip. But darned if I didn't pull out of the garage and look up, and what do you see? What do I see? I see a FlixBus on the road, and they just launched on May 31st.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, they're serious. I mean, their buses are already out there. They are serious. So anyway, we're going to talk about all sorts of travel news. I do have 4 tickets to give away to the Museum of Making Music in Carlsbad. That's a $40 value. There's no expiration date on these tickets. So if you think you're going to Carlsbad in the summer, this museum is really a fun museum about musical instruments. In fact, we're going to put a day trip together with adult customized tours to take you over there to the Museum of Making Music and the GIA, the Geological Institute of America. And they're both sort of right next to each other, both completely different and both fascinating. So on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we have our industry news to talk about in the world of travel. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I'm Françoise Rhodes, your host. So great to have you with us today. All right. We are in the industry news segment of the show, which is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. Now, they have so much free information and help and seminars. They have an audio library over there. The Braille Institute is located on Ramon Road in Rancho Mirage. Please take advantage of all that they offer. And you can go when you just have the first signs of vision loss. You do not have to wait until you have complete vision loss. So 760-321-1111. So please take advantage of that. All right, what is happening in the news? Well, Midwest Express Airlines appears to be one step closer to returning to the skies. Investors trying to revive the once popular, now defunct airline brand have committed to an initial round of funding to bring it back. So far, the group has raised $750,000. And they want to get back into the game. They said the new Midwest Express, they're optimistic that it'll be flying again in 2020. And a lot of people use those in the Midwest. All right, in other industry news, U.S. increases entrance fees for popular national parks. The charge for most 7-day vehicle passes will be increased by $5. Remember when they were trying to increase some of these up to $70 for a day fee into the park? Well, all that didn't pan out, which is a good thing. All right, in Maya Bay, Thailand, once a pristine Thai paradise, the secluded bay made famous by a Leonardo DiCaprio movie The Beach has been exhausted by mass tourism. Now it's getting a break. After Friday, that was just a couple days ago, the daily influx of dozens of boats and thousands of visitors unsuccessfully scrambling for an unspoiled view of Maya Bay's emerald waters and glistening white sand has ended. The attraction will be closed for 4 months to give its coral reefs and sea life a chance to recover. And that's such a great story in a lot of ways, because the dollar dictates so much that happens in the world of tourism. And to shut down a site like that, that the tourists want to go to give it time to breathe, and I don't know if it can recover in 4 months, but still give it a little chance.
Right. A lot of people get greedy.
Yeah.
You don't get to see that a lot.
Yeah. I am very, very impressed by this, that their plans are more down the road than just right then and there. So good for them. Good for them. All right. Affecting tourism throughout Hawaii. We were just talking about this. Packagers say some clients have canceled trips even though the eruption is affecting just a small area on the Big Island. New report states, besides lava and ash, Hawaii volcano pumping out VOG, which is symptoms which include burning eyes, headaches, and sore throats, But that's only happening in a certain area. So we were talking about this, even though we hear all these reports. I mean, just to be saying that, that the air quality, oh boy, it's so tough. You really need to do your homework before you cancel a trip to the other islands or even to Hawaii. I know it's a tough call, but really do your homework and check it out.
I think even if you're not planning on canceling, you should still do some homework.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are, you know, there's, I think it's good to do your homework no matter what, no matter where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah. So they call this thing that the volcano is pumping out, that's, I've never heard of this word, a VOG, because of the fumes and stuff. It's a fog that has the volcanic,
the ash.
Ash and fumes and stuff embedded in it. And yeah, it is definitely going to bother people with respiratory problems, but then about how close, if you're right up next to it, of course. So anyway, do your homework. All right, U.S. Brazil flight restrictions lifted. The Open Skies Agreement that was signed in 2011 finally went into force Monday following its approval by Brazil President Michel Temer. So the flight restrictions have been lifted to Brazil. Iceland surges in popularity among U.S. travelers, while London and Paris are still the most popular destinations in Europe for American travelers. This summer, it's I have been practicing this and I'm messing it up. Reykjavik soared from 17th to 3rd, according to Alliance Global Assistance. I know a lot of people that have been to Iceland within the last year, and they say it is incredible. All right, Delta returning to India. Delta will begin flying to Mumbai next year, making its return to India after a four-year hiatus. India is starting to become another hot spot in the world of travel, especially those adventurers out there going to India. So we will see. And tours and activities seller Gobi, a business that Royal Caribbean Cruises launched in 2017, has stopped accepting new bookings. They say, unfortunately, as of May 15th, they are done. So what they're saying is, hard to believe it, but a site, for booking trips and stuff is not making it. So that tells you that not all sites are going to make it.
Nope.
Yeah. So nope. Gobi, I never even heard of it. Maybe that's one of the reasons that a lot of people had not heard of it. And they're associated with Royal Caribbean Cruises. So if they don't do it correctly, tours and activities, you aren't going to make it.
No, I've never heard of it either.
Yeah, I know. Gobi, that's, yeah. And the Royal Caribbean has the money to promote it, and they really didn't do a good job in promoting it. All right, Denver's International Airport. How many of you been there? How many of you been lost there? My first couple times there, I rode the train back and forth and had no idea where I was going. Even though I asked people, I still, for some reason, had myself so worked up at that airport. I do not know why, that I was completely lost.
I've never been there.
Yeah, well, and you're right. And last time I went through Denver, for some reason, it all just clicked, and it was as simple as can be. But the first time, I'm not sure, is because you have to go down to the train and then you don't know. But they're the fastest growing airport. They're going to add 39 more gates across its three concourses. And that will make 107 existing, with 107 existing gates that they have, and add 39 more.
Wow.
That's a lot of gates.
Yeah, it is.
And that's a lot of train travel and try to figure, and a lot of walking. So Denver International, it's quite an airport, but they get them through. But now I understand the train thing, so I'm okay. But I tell you, the first time, I said, I'm never coming back here. I will not. But then, of course, you have to, because you, yeah.
It's not, it's kind of up to you, but only to an extent.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just, and I don't know why I made it so hard the first time. I'm not sure, but I did. But anyway, it's not that hard. All right, Las Vegas. Let's talk about Las Vegas. Lots of things happening there. At the area of Mandalay Bay, there is a no straw to stir your drink mandate going on now. No more plastic straws. That's a big thing out there. They say that plastic straws are one of the worst items for our pollution out there, our environment, so they are getting rid of plastic straws. In fact, John over at Ristretto in Palm Springs, they're going to eliminate plastic straws as well. They're going to these paper-type straws that will, just disintegrate in the environment. So that's happening. The Waldorf Astoria, they are also raising a flag in Las Vegas. So that's quite a prominent name, the Waldorf Astoria. The Mandarin Oriental at City Center. Boy, should I start that whole thing over? That was terrible. All right. The Waldorf Astoria is raising their flag in Las Vegas. The Mandarin Oriental at City Center will be rebranded in August. There you go. Okay. I saw some other hotels that have changed the name down there. Building is going on everywhere you look. Remember they're building that big sphere that we're talking about?
All right.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where. No one seemed to know where. I asked several locals. They had no idea this thing was even going up.
Really?
Yeah. But the building is everywhere you look. Bally's, they just spent $125 million renovating their rooms. I know the Monte Carlo has changed names now. They're no longer the Monte Carlo. They just redid complete renovations as well. Lots of stuff happening in Las Vegas. Building, so much going on. And that big strike that was supposed to happen with the Culinary Workers Union, well, they came to agreement with some of them. Caesars Property, they have a tentative agreement, and that also covered by Bally's, Flamingo, Harrah's, Paris, Planet Hollywood. I mean, that Caesars Property owns a lot of property on there. Anyway, they came to a temporary agreement with the Culinary Union workers. A few other casinos that aren't involved with that, the Wynn Las Vegas, Encore, the Venetian, and Palazzo, they don't hire people from that Culinary Union, so they were unaffected. But it looks like they're going to work things out. And there's not going to be too many problems with that. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk to Pierre from Flixbus. So stick around. Was that too soon?
It was a little bit soon, yeah.
Was that too soon? Yeah. I looked at the clock and I thought, oh, that's... Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. I want to give a shout out to all our Arizona listeners as well. The show is syndicated in Arizona, but you can listen to us streaming live anywhere around the world. Now, we're waiting for Pierre from Flixbus to give us a call, and I'm not sure actually where Pierre is because this company, he is the managing director. And this company is a European-based company. And I've been going back and forth with them, yes, about being on the show. And they're wanting to be, I mean, a gazillion emails going to the process of setting up some of these emails, these interviews. And we never know, Sean, what's going to happen.
Yeah. So he might be out of the country.
He could be out of the country. And we've had people call us before from Germany and all over the world. So that's but the time difference.
The time difference is what does
that can mess up a lot of people. Because you know, I had someone asking me that one of our guests was calling from the Midwest or something. And she had me so confused about what time to call here. I finally said, okay, it is this time here. Look at your phone and find out what time it is there.
Right.
And then you will know that's the difference. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll keep our fingers crossed to see if Pierre from Flixbus will get in touch with us. If not, we're going to keep right on moving. Now, I did start something new called the Traveling with Francoise Question of the Week. And I put this on our Facebook page. And it is, I don't think it's on eBlast. I think I just have it on the Facebook page right now. I throw a question out there and you answer it. Those who feel like answering, do so. Now, last week we probably had 30 answers for the question about if you had an all-expense-paid trip to anywhere in the world, a week-long trip, would you go domestic or international? Everybody had opinions on this. This one was a little bit different. I'm trying to get a feel. I've been doing this on the golf show for a long time, and people really enjoy this. I'm trying to get a feel for the right kind of questions because I don't want questions that you can just Google and answer.
Right. Well, yeah. I think that the questions that people just answer, like there's not a right answer.
Right. And
that's what you're looking for.
That's what I want, an experience answer. So this question was, have you used public bus transportation when traveling? If yes, how was the experience? If no, why not? And I knew it would be a little tricky because oftentimes people are, I'm not going to say embarrassed, but they don't want to say if there's something like public transportation that they've never used.
Right.
They don't want to admit to it that they've never.
I've never been on a bus outside of.
Yeah. Now, I don't use
where
buses.
I grew up. I don't think I've ever been on a bus here.
Yeah, I've never been on a bus here just to check out something that the Sunline was doing. But traveling, yes, in Europe, rode the buses. In Mexico, rode the buses. Rode the bus in Las Vegas. So I have no problem getting on the bus if I can understand the routes. That's right. The biggest thing to me. That make them easy to understand for a traveler. You know, those straight kind of loop. It's a loop that goes around where a traveler needs
right.
to go.
Right.
Not one that.
And your phone would be a good spot for that too.
Yeah.
The phone breaks it down. I mean, one of Janet's sons, he rides the bus constantly, and I go through the phone. And I'm like, there's a better route. You can just go this, and that, you know?
Well, there
the
you
Google
go.
Maps that you use, you can set it for a bus, and it'll tell you what bus stops and how long it would take you to get from one spot to another.
Well, and I just look at the sign that's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say the tickets, the kiosk to buy the tickets were so easy. That's another problem. If people don't know where to buy the tickets,
right.
they can get very frustrated. But I noticed that in Las Vegas, they have the kiosk to sell the tickets. It looks like an ATM almost, basically at every bus stop. So you don't have to worry about that. You can sit right. at a bus stop. If you can't buy the ticket, they're not going to let you ride the bus.
Right.
Yeah. So that can be a problem too. So anyway, the question was, have you used public bus transportation when traveling? So Nancy Edwards said, when my son was young, we traveled by bus all around San Francisco. I wanted him to feel comfortable using public transportation. Very good point there.
Yeah.
Because that is a problem with people not thinking that more public transportation is just for people going to work
right.
or coming home from work. And that's not the case. Susan Brown Rosenberg says, we use bus and BART regularly when in Oakland and San Francisco. Ferries in Seattle are a lot of fun, too. Well, ferries, a little bit different because you're on a boat and you're kind of cruising around out there. That's a little bit different. Kimberly Krause said, absolutely. I love riding together with others. It's an easy way to ask questions of locals. It's such a practical and natural way of life for many. When I had my kids ride the city bus here in Palm Springs, everyone acted like I was neglecting them. But she said, I knew it was important. They don't hesitate now as adults to just jump on and ride when a bus is one of the options for traveling. Great comment there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stigma with the bus.
With the bus, yeah. And like I said, we met the nicest people on the bus in Vegas. In fact, everywhere in my travels through life, riding the bus, I met so many nice people, and they're all willing to help.
Right.
In fact, just in conversation in Vegas on the bus, and this has basically happened everywhere, talking to whoever you're with, you're bringing up, well, I wonder if this bus takes us to here, or I don't quite understand. And all of a sudden, someone around you will pop up and say, yeah, this bus stops there.
Right.
Or you want to get off at that stop instead. You don't want to get off at the next one. And they're really, really helpful and not afraid to ask. So all the questions, all the answers to the questions are entered to win two passes to go whale watching at Dana Wharf Whale Watch. And I'll let the questions, I'll do a month worth of questions, and then we'll pick a winner. So I don't know what I'm thinking about questions each week. Like I say, I have to think about it for a while and try to get a feel what everybody wants to talk about. So obviously with the domestic and international, they want to talk about travel. With this one, not so much. They didn't want to admit whether they did or they didn't, which was kind of interesting. You never know. All right. Speaking of traveling, of course, Donna Colez is the general manager of Dana Wharf, a sport fishing and whale watching. Remember, Father's Day is coming up this month. Surprise dad with a sport fishing trip. Yes, they do sport fishing as well. Send them out there. They'll have a blast. DanaWharf.com, or just take them whale watching. But if you want to really, if you know dad's a fisherman, say, this, you're going to like this one, dad, and give them tickets for some sport fishing out there with Dana Wharf whale watching out in Dana Point. It's an easy shot to get to. It's like a straight, an hour and 40 minutes or something to get to Dana Point from here. So that would be a fun gift for Father's Day, along with, maybe some jewelry from B. Olson's Jewelers. That'll work as well. All right, we're going to have, and I know she's going to be joining us soon, Nada Presclo. She is with Ave Maria Pilgrimage, and it is pilgrimage, not pilgrimages. AveMaria.com, pilgrimage.com. You can check it out. She's going to be joining us in a couple weeks with Father John Struzzo, and they're going to talk about a trip that they just returned from And we're going to talk about some of her upcoming trips, which are more spiritual adventures or renewals. Of course, they're going to the Holy Land and so many fabulous places. So if you would like to experience a trip of that kind, go to their website. Everyone's website is on Traveling with Françoise, but go to AveMariaPilgrimage.com. That's AveMariaPilgrimage.com or call 760-459-3505. She does some amazing trips, and I really like the fact that we also know that ACT, Adult Customized Tours, they are part of the show Traveling with Françoise. And these two different companies do completely different types of trips. And that shows you the variety out there of tours are not all the same. Every tour company has their own niche, and you need to find out which one works for you. In the case of Ave Maria Pilgrimage, it's more spiritual journey, renewal. They have a different significance to them. We're Adult Customized Tour, ACT. They are more into the adventure side. Some of their trips just, on a safari and in India and just all over the world, Thailand, Bangkok, and they have their day trips as well. So check them both out and see what works for you. Really, so much to choose from out there. In fact, ACT, they have a trip coming up in October to the best of the Orient, Bangkok, Singapore, Bali, Hong Kong. $2,995 includes airfare. You cannot beat it. And they stay at these fantastic, both companies stay at fantastic hotels and resorts. Now, if you want to stay closer to home and you just want to escape to get away from the hustle bustle and enjoy the beautiful night sky, you can go to the Borrego Springs Golf Resort and Spa, only 90 minutes away. Every night, they are a stargazing community. It's beautiful out there. Of course, they are the desert. They warm up just like we do. But they still go strong, not as strong as during the season, but they have visitors. They have more international visitors during the summer out there in Borrego Springs, I think, than they do during the season, because these international visitors want to experience a summer heat, desert heat.
Yeah, I think it's funny that what we kind of, I guess for lack of better terms, dread all year long.
Yes.
People are coming to try it out. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, it is. And they don't believe that it was 109.
You know what it is?
When I get to Vegas.
This is why they don't mind, because they don't have to pay the power bills and whatnot.
Well, that's true.
When my parents were here, they rented a house in Palm Springs, and all the thermostats say this is to go no lower than 76.
Oh.
My home goes nowhere near 76. I don't want it that low because I don't want that power bill. So we just hung out at that house all day and just cranked their AC.
All right. Now I feel really guilty because in the room at the Golden Nugget, for some reason, it would either be freezing cold or warm.
Yeah, that happens a lot too.
So it was at 72 and I thought, this is kind of warm. At 72, the room felt warm. So
have you ever put your house at 72 though?
Not anymore.
No way.
You can't. We can't afford it. People, you can't afford to put it that low. And then the poor air conditioner just runs and runs and runs.
Yeah, you can hear it hurting. Yeah.
So I kept turning. Then I turned it down to 68. Why? I don't know. When I walked in there, it was freezing cold. So then I moved it back up to 70. And then, so when I get home, the house is set on 76. And I think, dang, I'm hot.
It's
warm in here. All right. Not that anybody was interested in that story. But anyway, we do take advantage when we travel of the lights, leave the lights on. But more and more hotels now are going to those where you have to put your key card in your room to use all the lights and electricity and stuff.
That's not a bad idea.
And as soon as you take your card out, well, then it shuts everything up. And also, this was when I was at Legoland. If you have the window open, there's a sensor on there. If you have the window open in the room, the heat or air conditioning will not come on.
That's not a bad idea either.
Yeah. So it saves there were people that open everything up, turn the air on or the heating on, and
People should install that residentially for people with kids.
Exactly. As soon as a window or door is wide open, it's not going to work. Because I kept thinking, why isn't that? I think I don't know if I was looking for air or heat. I don't remember which one I thought, but why isn't it coming on? Then it dawned on me, because I'd had that happen before, that I'd open the window just a little bit to get some fresh air in the room, and that's why what's coming on. All right, here's another adventure you might not want to miss. King Tut, Treasures of the Golden Pharaoh. That's their 100th anniversary exhibition is going to be happening at the California Science Center. I did a show on that. If you've never been, it's really a lot of fun. The space shuttle is there. Endeavor is there as well. But this is the TUT exhibit. $85 includes transportation. That is happening in August. They have two dates, August 5th and October 14th. I think they're probably pretty well sold out on most of this, but you can give them a call. Because Steve was saying we might just add a third trip because it's been so popular. Call ACT at 888-605-8280, or what is it? It's locally 760-327-1234-1247. That's it. Go to the website. And it's all on Traveling with Francois. All right, on that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to tell you where is the best place for staycations and where is the worst. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. Now, I always get carried away, and I forgot that I have these four tickets to the Museum of Making Music in Carlsbad. It's a $40 value. They have no expiration date on them. If you think you're going to Carlsbad or you have family there and you want to send it to them, let them go. Just give us a call. 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. And I will mail those tickets out to you. It's that simple. So the lines are open. All right. To identify the best spots for staying local, Wallet Hub compared more than 180 cities across 40 key indicators of a fun-filled yet wallet-friendly staycation. The data ranges from movie and bowling costs to spas and wellness centers per capita to cost of house cleaning services. So for those of you who don't want to go outside of the area, you want to stay home, this might be for you. Now, I'll do this one first, the best versus the worst. North Las Vegas has the most zoos and aquariums per square foot of population, 62.3 times more than New York, the city with the fewest. I would not think of Las Vegas as ones with zoo, but they did have a big aquarium at the Golden Nugget. But that's Vegas versus New York. Interesting. And Vegas won out on that.
Yeah, that is different.
Portland, Maine has the most parks per square root of population, 22.4 times more than Hialeah, Florida, the city with the fewest. And we'll bring Florida back here in a minute. Chicago has the most tennis courts per square foot of population, 25.7 times more than Gilbert, Arizona, who has the fewest.
Tennis courts?
Tennis courts. They're trying to find things that people will do when they stay home for a vacation in their area. South Burlington, Vermont has the lowest cost of house cleaning services at $103, 5.2 times less expensive than St. Paul, Minnesota, the city with the highest cost of house cleaning at $539.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a big...
So if you clean houses, you know where you want to...
Yeah, right.
Where you might want to move to.
I know. Yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota. All right, when it comes to the worst places for staycations, and this really surprised me, at the very bottom of the list was Oxnard, California.
For the worst staycation?
For the worst staycation. I don't, with the marinas and everything there, I don't get that.
There's still stuff to do, yeah.
There's a lot there. I was really surprised. Next on the list was Bridgeport, Connecticut. Then up from that, San Bernardino, California, which, you know, I don't know. Maybe I could see that way. Fremont, California. And then Yonkers, New York. Those were the bottom of the barrel there for staycations. And then when you go up a little farther, it's in the worst section, Anaheim, California, which has Disneyland.
Hmm.
So those are the worst.
So maybe do not many people live there? Maybe that's why it, I don't know. That seems weird.
Or maybe affordability-wise, I guess maybe they're not that affordable, or they don't have a lot of movie and bowling alleys and stuff like that. I don't know.
Maybe nobody from Anaheim actually really goes to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's probably true right there. Now, best places for a staycation that you want to stay at home. The top 10 coming in at number 10 is Charleston, South Carolina. Number 9 is San Diego, California. Number 8 is San Francisco, California. Number 7 is Las Vegas, Nevada. Number 6 is Tampa, Florida. You're going to like this one. Number five is Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, they're moving up.
Yeah, they really – Oregon's getting a lot of play out there. Number four is Seattle, Washington. Number three is Chicago, Illinois. Number two is Honolulu. And number one is Orlando, Florida.
Huh. So Florida's on there a couple times too.
Yeah, and the worst and the best.
Yeah.
Both categories.
But California as well. We got a couple on the worst and a couple on the best.
Yeah, we have a couple on the worst and a couple on the best. We were in the top 10 twice with San Francisco and San Diego. And those places are so populated. I don't know how they figure they can be absolutely the best out there. But, oh, well, that's what they come up with. So there you go. If you're going to stay home, there's a lot of ways to do it. And if you're going to stay in the Coachella Valley, just remember that we have a lot of things to do here during the summertime. Okay, Sean, I know when I was reading some of that list, you were on the phone with a winner who won those tickets to the Carlsbad Museum of Making Music.
It was Tyler in Indian Wells.
Okay, all right. Well, congratulations. So there you go. All right, and here are some stats that looks like I haven't read these in a while. It says new travel advisories for the U.S. Of course, they have that new level out there now, levels 1 through 3 that you can look up online where the U.S. Department of State travel advisory levels. They actually have 1 through 4, and 4 being the worst, and of course, 1 being very light, 1 and 2. So those travel advisories. But remember, it all depends, too, on what areas that you're going to in those certain areas. So don't take everything that you see just right off. Talk to your travel agent or your travel source or your tour operators and talk to people that know, or talk to the tourism offices at these places and let them help you as well. Okay, international visitors to the U.S. in 2017 spent 3.3% less through November than at the same point the previous year. But that hasn't changed. That has changed this year. While in Vegas, they were saying that this year so far, the visitors to Vegas is breaking records so far this year. And people are worried about, you know, we talk about the sports books opening up here. Vegas is just Vegas, and it's not changing. It's just getting more and more popular and busy.
I think that's good.
Yeah, it is. It is its own unique place like New York. And I go there and I look at the people and I look at their eyes when they're looking around. And the people that on the bus were from Alabama. And they had read something that said, don't go to Fremont Street at night, which whoever wrote that. Fremont Street is the place to go at night because of the light show and all the lights everywhere and the masses of people and all the craziness going on. You don't go to it. They were going during the day. And there's really not a whole lot going
on. Right.
Yeah. So I said to him, yeah, you really have to stay for the nighttime, and told him a couple places to eat. And they said, yeah, we were reading a guidebook that said, don't go to Fremont Street during the night. So that is the time to go. And let's talk about some wacky packing. Yeah. What people pack with them. I'm sure you have a few things that that you find are helpful. People look at you and say, what are you bringing that for? Well, one of them is a beach ball and a pillowcase. On a long plane trip, inflate the beach ball, put it in a pillowcase, set it on the tray, and sleep on it. There you go. That'll work. Someone else said a beach ball. Blow it up to 2/3 full and use it for a footrest on the plane. Said beach balls are pretty popular. You can use them for a lot of things. Someone else said a golf ball makes a great international sink stopper.
I guess that would work.
That is pretty clever. That is pretty darn clever, and it's easy to carry around in your bag. One person says they take hooks that hang over the door because many hotel bathrooms don't have a place to hang anything, which that one, I seem to find a lot of hooks everywhere, but I don't know. Nightlight, I've always thrown a nightlight. Keep one in my suitcase all the time just in case. But now they have so many different little lights in the room, from the alarm to the television to your computer to everything. You don't need a nightlight. There are lights.
They're pretty well lit
everywhere. In fact, I cover them up with towels.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes it's too much.
It's too much. I take some towels in the bathroom and cover them up because there's too many lights for me. All right, on that note, sorry we didn't hear from FlexBus, but again, when they're calling from overseas, you never know what's going to happen. Next week on the show, we are going to travel with your pets safely. We're going to talk about things happening in the Coachella Valley and a lot more. Everyone have a great week. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time. And remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you later. Bye.